Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to episode number 4 of the Pixel Lab podcast. And I have some kind of exciting news. We are approved on iTunes, so we are live over there. I'll put in a link. If you guys enjoy the podcast, please head over there and give me a rating. I'd really appreciate that. Today I have Twisted Polly with me. You might know him on Twitter. He's very active in the Cinema 4D community. That's at Twisted Polly, twistedpolly.com. And he's a fantastic motion designer. I have no clue how to pronounce his name, though, so I'm going to go ahead and ask you. That'll be my first question, sir. Why don't you go ahead and pronounce your name for me?
My name is pronounced Nate Poloshak, and I always have problem when talking or meeting new foreign people because nobody really knows how to pronounce my name. So, but don't worry if you don't get it exactly right. So, it's Nate Poloshak.
Nate Poloshak, okay. I'm just going to call you Twisted Polly, I think. Hey, why don't we talk about your background in motion graphics? Did you go to school for it? What did you study? How did you get into this business?
No, I didn't go to school for motion graphics. I studied computer science, and while studying computer science, I realized I don't want to write code all day long. So I got really interested into 3D and animation, and I just started learning it in my free time, and I watched every tutorial I could find on the internet, and I started to work on my own small projects, from simple modeling to shading and animating, rendering, and so on. So I learned everything from tutorials and by myself.
That's funny, because when I was, I think, 17, trying to figure out what I was going to do with my career, I almost went into computer science. I think I lasted about 5 days. I took trigonometry and I dropped it after 5 days, and I was like, well, that's not going to happen. So, yeah. So you kind of learned all of this on your own. Was it hard to get into your first job in the industry? How did you get into the first job?
Yeah, how I got my first job or my previous job is while I was learning 3D, I was constantly uploading and publishing my new projects and my progress on the internet. And here in Slovenia, we have a small website or small online community dedicated to artists, photographers, animators, and I was constantly publishing my new projects there, and I was getting feedback from the people which were already working or which were already in the industry. So one day I got a job offer from one of the main guys behind that website, or one of the moderators on that website, and he offered me a full-time job as a 3D animator, 3D generalist. And that's how I got my first full-time job.
It's always interesting for me to hear how people first get their foot in the industry. I think you're the first guy who I've talked to on this podcast who has not gone to school for this. So definitely a different kind of a career path to get you into this, which is really, really cool. So now that you're in the industry, why don't you tell me about what you do right now? Are you at a studio? Do you freelance? And what sort of projects do you work on?
Currently I freelance, but I've been freelancing only for about 6 months now, and I do remote work from home, or I do project based on location work at different studios around Europe. And I did a lot of game graphics work, mostly pre-rendered animations and pre-rendered backgrounds and elements in the past 4 or 5 years, and currently as a freelancer I'm trying to work on motion graphics projects. So that's my current aim, is just trying to get my hands on the cool motion graphics projects.
Could you tell us what if there is such a thing, a typical freelance work day is for you?
Yeah, that's a good one, because right now I don't think I really have a typical work day. As I said before, I've been freelancing for 6 months now, and I've been doing remote work from home, and I've been doing on location work at different studios. So usually when working from home, I start at 10 or maybe even later. I'm really not a morning person, so I get up at around 9 and then check the news, mails, Twitter feed, maybe some inspirational stuff around the internet, and then start working on, of course, after having breakfast and big coffee, start to working on a project. And it really depends on the deadline and on the type of the project and on the client. How long will I spend working each day? So if I have really tight deadline, of course I have to work crazy hours, but no matter the deadline, I try to finish every project as soon as possible and just move on to the next thing, or just finish it and maybe have a few days off or a few weeks off. So it's really never the same routine, the same typical workday for me right now. And when working at different studios, I obviously have to adapt to their schedule. So again, it's different story every time. I really like that kind of lifestyle right now, when I can work from home and maybe in few weeks I can jump on a plane to work, I don't know, at some different studios in Europe for a few weeks. It really works for me now, but I don't know what will I say in 10 years, maybe when I have a family. So, but right now I really love the freedom of having freedom to decide what kind of projects I want to work on and which people I want to work with, and also where I want to work.
I'm curious, how much of your time do you usually spend watching tutorials and learning new techniques?
Well, I always try to maybe if I watch tutorial or maybe practice something or learn something new from tutorial, I always try to use it in a new project, if I can, of course. So I never really watch tutorials, like just watch them, but I maybe just try to see what's the point of tutorial and maybe just bookmark it and use it later on a project. Maybe if I'm working on a project, I can go back, check the tutorial and use the knowledge on the project. So I always try to, if I'm learning something new, I always try to come up with finished result of something new that I learned, or just use the new tool or new technique in the project, instead of just, I don't know, just watching the tutorial.
So I've noticed that you do a lot of personal projects, more than most people I've seen. You've done one for the 99 Frames project. You've done quite a few that you posted up on your blog. You recently did the Bon Appetit short film, which was really, really cool. So I'd like you to talk a little bit about personal projects. Why do you do them? How do you decide what you do on a personal project? When do you find the time to do them? And why you think they're so important to keep doing?
Somehow I've always been used to work on my own stuff when I have time. I always have these ideas which I want to get out, or just want to use them in a project. And maybe I also want to learn something new. That's also why I do them. And the main reason, because I do these personal projects right now, is I want to fill up my portfolio with the kind of projects I want to work on in the future. So that's currently the main reason. And I always somehow find the time for this in between the actual paid projects, or in the evenings, so or during the weekends. So it might take a bit more time to finish those, but in the end it's really worth, because it's really my own ideas, and it's really nice to get some feedback from the community. And I guess they're pretty important, because you always learn something new, and you don't have that deadline that you have to to go for. So you can take time and just try out new technique or new tools, and always learn something new from them. So they're pretty important to me.
I think that's really good advice, and I would definitely encourage a lot of you guys out there to start up a personal project. The not having a deadline is sometimes tricky to keep motivated, but it can also be a really good thing. It'll allow you to try something hard, something new, give you a lot of time to experiment. So I definitely encourage you to do that. So that's one way to kind of stay fresh and try new things. Do you have any other ways that you find inspiration, any good resources you can share with us?
A lot of times I get inspired by other people's work, of course, but I never try to copy the same style or the same animation as somebody already made. And I guess it's also not the best way to, or the good way to stay fresh, because you're always watching something that it was already made. So I guess to stay fresh is, I don't know, just try to find inspiration in completely opposite direction. I don't know, just out in the nature or on the streets. There is so much stuff that can inspire you, or maybe just trying to use tools that are available to you. Just trying to use those tools in the way that they were maybe not really meant to be used. So I don't know, just using cloth on a car or something like this. And as far as resources, my number one resource is Twitter, and it's been Twitter for quite a long time now, because it's such a simple but powerful tool, and I can connect with other people that are doing the same stuff as I do, and everybody's constantly sharing good inspirational stuff. So yeah, Twitter is number one resource for me right now, apart from the websites which I think we all visit, that are like I don't know, Motionographer, Vimeo, MotionServed, SqueezeMe, and sites like this.
All right, I want to wrap this up with one final question, and that's for people who are interested in the industry. Do you have anything that you want to share with them? Any ideas on how to get started? Anything that you wish you knew before you started? What do you think is the most important thing that they need to know?
I guess you have to come up with new ideas, with new animation styles or different looks. Trying to be ahead of everyone else, instead of just recreating something that somebody already made. So it's all about creativity and new ideas, looks, and motions. Well, starting with motion graphics these days shouldn't really be a problem, I guess, because there is so many different and good learning resources out there. And I mean, these days everybody can learn motion graphics if they want to. It's just that if you really want to do it, don't give up soon, because 3D software can be really harsh in the beginning, because there's so many different things you can do with it, and it's filled with a lot of different tools. And just think about the software as the easiest part of the job, because the hardest part is just staying creative. So just use software as a tool instead of the main thing that you do. Also try to work on your own stuff and push it out online, and try to get feedback on your own projects and apply that feedback on your next project. Try to use all of the different social media tools that are available these days to connect with other people that are in the same industry and doing the same stuff, and just follow what's going on and what's really cool at the time. And that's it, I guess.
Very good. All right. Hey, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for hanging out with us. I really appreciate it, man.
Well, thanks for inviting me on the podcast. and keep up with the good work and with the great contributions to Cinema 4D community with great tutorials and resources. And thanks again. Bye.
That's it for the Pixel Lab Podcast, Episode 4. Big thanks to Nate. You can follow him at Twisted Poly, twistedpoly.com. I'll put in some links. And thanks so much for listening, guys. If you're enjoying the show, please let me know, and please give me a rating. I will definitely keep cranking them out if this is useful to you and you're enjoying them. And yeah, I hope you guys have a great day. Thanks for listening. Bye.